Good morning to everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name. It's been a blessing being here already this morning. Thank you all for contributing to the service already this morning. I just felt as a confirmation with everything we've heard already, with what the Lord has laid on my heart. And I think of, you know, how the Lord works with brothers individually and by His Holy Spirit working through the brothers as we seek God. And so some of the things that I'll be sharing, we've already heard them this morning, you know, about being filled with the Holy Ghost and it changes us. And so thank you all for coming. God bless you all. I know it's a, you know, I pick up Brother Joshua's burden here, you know, someone sitting in the room and not understanding, but hopefully by next Sunday that'll change. A brother took the initiative of ordering some earbuds that'll translate. So, hopefully by next Sunday they'll be here. We were hoping they were going to be here for this Sunday, but they didn't show up. So, good morning. And I feel a need here to just bow our hearts again for a word of prayer before I begin. Ask the Lord to bless His word. So if you just would like to bow your hearts. And well, Father in heaven, we bow our hearts here before You this morning and giving thanks already, Father, for what You have done and for what You, for Your presence here in our midst this morning and blessing us through the singing and praising. And Lord, we thank You for the words that we've already heard this morning and being inspired. We just ask, Lord, that You would continue to bless the remainder of this service. I pray that You would open up Your word, that You would quicken it, give life to it, Lord, that You would be glorified and honored, that it would make a difference in our lives, in our hearts, and Lord, that we could, that You would be glorified and honored. Father, we just submit ourselves into Your hand. I just pray that You would use me as a vessel in Your hand and to communicate Your word clearly. And Lord, that it could minister life to the hearers. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I've titled the message this morning, this Assurance of Salvation. Assurance of Salvation. So, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Galatians chapter 4. We had some of these verses here at Bible study Wednesday night, but I want to particularly focus on one verse this morning. Galatians chapter 4, I'm going to start reading in verse 4 and read down through verse 9. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? And so as I was just seeking the Lord for today's message and, you know, thinking on having baptisms here today, new converts, souls coming to the Lord, and I felt led to share this message, assurance of salvation. God sent His, it says in verse 6 here, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And so here we find this phrase, Abba, Father, three times in the Scripture. And we read here in verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. Back in the days, and you know, and I think it's still like this in some cultures where they have servants and they have maids in the homes, the wealthy people. But these slaves were forbidden to use this term, Abba Father, or to forbidden to use this term to address the head of the family by this title. You know, they did not have that right. They weren't sons. They were forbidden that. They were slaves. They did not. So they were forbidden that. And so here, you know, he says, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. God has sent forth his spirit into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You know, before we were born again, before we were converted, we were slaves to sin or a servant to sin. Jesus said in John, he who commits sin is a servant to sin or a slave to sin. And so, you know, once that transformation takes place, we're translated into the kingdom of his dear son. He sends forth his spirit into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. And so, Abba is a word. It's a, I think, is an Arabic word, according to the Vines. And it's a word framed by the lips of an infant and betokens unreasoning trust. You know, infants today, you know, we all like when our little baby starts speaking its first words. And some of its first words are what? Dada, dada, right? A lot of them. Or mama, mama. And we love to hear that, you know. It brings joy to our hearts. How many fathers don't like to hear that first word coming from your little child? Dada, dada. It's because, you know, they're looking up to you with unreasoning trust and confidence, and it's a sign of intimacy. And then you have the expression, Father behind it, Abba Father. And so I want to, you know, just share today on my message is on Abba Father. And then you combine the word Father with that, expresses an intelligent apprehension of the relationship. The two together, Abba Father, express the love and intelligent confidence of the child. And we have an example of this in Mark chapter 14, where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane praying in verse 34 through 36. And he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground, and he prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And so here we see he had complete trust in his father. And he cried out like a little infant, Abba, Daddy, Daddy. If it's at all possible, please take this away from me. So he was... Jesus in the garden was crying out in that posture, but yet he had confidence and trust in him that God will, he says, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will. He had confidence in him. He'll give me the grace to go through it. And so Jesus is expressing his confidence and trust in the Father at this difficult moment. And then Romans chapter 8, 15 is the other passage that has this phrase, Abba, Father. He says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so here again, you know, he tells us, you didn't receive a spirit of fear, but you've received the Spirit crying, that cries out, Abba, Father, trust, you know, confidence, not one of fear. That's not the Spirit that God sends forth. And I will come back to that a little bit later. I'm going to turn back to Galatians chapter 4. And in verses 4 and 5 and just take a look at how God sends the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. One thing I want you to notice here, you have the triune God here. You have the Holy Spirit, you have His Son, and you have the Father. They're all together in verse 6 there. You know, most of us understand this happens at the new birth. But I want to look at a picture here in the New Testament, you know, of what really, to give us a glimpse of this Abba Father. If you want to, turn to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, and I'll read 1 through 15. Just to give you a little glimpse of Abba Father, you know, what happens at this point, you know, in the new birth. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. Here's at Jesus' trial. And straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answering said unto him, Thou sayest it. And the chief priest accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at the feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye then that I shall do unto him, whom ye call the king of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why, what evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And so here you have Barabbas here. It says he made insurrection. That means he was a rioter. You know, all of us are familiar with what's going on in Haiti. There's riots going on. And so Barabbas here, he was a gang leader, you could say. And he in this insurrection, he murdered people. In John, it says he was a robber. So this man was a rioter. He was probably, in one of the Gospels, it says he was a notable prisoner. So everybody knew about him. You know, just everybody knew about this gang leader that took the them captive, you know. He was a notable prisoner. Everybody knew about him. One of the Gospels says, in Matthew, it says he was a notable prisoner. And so everyone knew this man and all the deeds he has done. And we read in verse 8, and the multitude crying aloud began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. This was unheard of. You'd take such a violent man and turn him loose. It was unheard of. And so he was a very, very, very ungodly man. And so Barabbas is a picture of you and I before a holy God, condemned because of our sin. And so Barabbas here, he deserved what Jesus got. But we read here in verse 16 through 20 that Jesus took his place. And why did he do that? This What's the root word? Abba. Abba. You know, this means, bar means son of. And that's what Abba means, son of the Father. So Jesus Christ took our place on the cross like he did Barabbas here. I believe this happened to give this picture. God sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Son of the Father. If you go, you know, you look, there's other words that do the same thing. If you turn, I'll just show you another example. What bar means, son of. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. We have blind Bartimaeus. 10:46, it says, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, there you have that word bar, and now look, it says the son of Timaeus sat by the highway side begging. And so here, I just wanted to show you that word B-A-R means son of. You also read in Matthew 16, verse 16, 17, that Peter was the son of, I'll just turn there, Mark chapter 16, or Matthew 16, verse 16 and 17. Here's where Peter makes his confession of who Christ is. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, that means son of Jonah. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And so that word B-A-R in front of a name means son of. And you have other examples. Yeah, and you have Barnabas means son of comfort. You have Barsabbas, which means son of Sabbath. And you have Bar-Jesus in Acts, which means son of Joshua. And so here we see that Jesus, you know, Barabbas here deserved everything Jesus got, but Jesus was willing to take his place so he could become a son of the Father. Whether he did or not, we don't know, but it's a picture of you and I. Jesus took our place, Christ redeeming us, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And not only did he deliver us and translate us into the kingdom of his dear Son, but he has given us a confirmation that the transaction has taken place. You know, example, you know, a couple weeks ago, I went to Home Depot to purchase tile for a job. And as soon as, you know, my order was processed, I had a special order for the customer. As soon as my order was processed, they sent me a confirmation to my email that the transaction was done. If you order online from Amazon, immediately they send you a confirmation that the transaction has been done. I don't know if Barabbas ever received the transaction that was intended here for him, that Jesus did for him that day, but, you know, he sends, and that transaction today is what we read in Galatians chapter 4, God has sent forth his spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And so, it's a beautiful picture. You know, God didn't just send his Son to die, but he has also sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And we have another example of that from the Scripture. You know, I shared about making a purchase on Amazon and those places, how they send you a confirmation. If you turn to Matthew chapter 3, we have Jesus' baptism. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 says, Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting up on him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So here, you know, Jesus Christ received the confirmation. And God doesn't just, you know, when someone is translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, it's just like he did Jesus Christ. We read here in Galatians here, our text, that God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." Wherefore, thou art no more a servant. There is a witness there that you have went from being a servant to sin to becoming a son of God. And hallelujah for that. Praise the Lord. And we notice here the Spirit descending like a dove and lighting up on him. The Spirit descended upon him. And in the same way, God sends forth his Spirit to light upon us. And notice, where is the Spirit being sent to in Galatians 4:6? Into your heart, into my heart. That's where God sends it. The confirmation that the transaction has taken place. And this is what it does in the heart. Abba, Father. It's crying, Abba, Father. Children crying, Dada, Dada, Daddy. Expressing a complete trust and confidence in the Father. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That word substance means title, deed, if you look it up. Giving a guarantee. Faith is the evidence or the substance of things hoped for. It's the title. It's the deed that God owns you. It's the evidence. I have a little story just to illustrate this. It says, dropping the burden. It says, a Negro carrying a bag of potatoes on his back was asked by a skeptic, "How do you know you are saved?" The Negro took a few steps and then dropped the bag. Then he said, "How do I know I've dropped the bag? I have not looked around. The bag was on his back. How do I know I dropped it? I didn't look around." "No," replied the man, "you can tell by the lessening of the weight." "Yes," went on the Negro, "that is how I know I am saved. I have lost the guilty feeling of sin and sorrow and have found peace and satisfaction in my Lord and Savior." Praise the Lord. I remember, you know, my guilt, my shame being gone. Praise the Lord. Things not seen. Dropping the burden. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7 says these words. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Again, we see the Spirit of God shining into our hearts. It says, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And where is it again? It says, we have this treasure in our earthen vessels. It's in our heart. God has sent forth his Spirit into your heart. And we turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. We have this again. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 through 19. I want you to notice here that Peter points in verse 16 and 19 to the confirmation that Jesus Christ received when he was on this earth, that God was with him. And then in verse 18 and 19, he points to our confirmation. So I'm going to read these verses. He says, verse 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. This isn't some fable that God sends His Spirit into your heart crying, Abba, Father. When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. And so Peter here is, this happened after his baptism. But, you know, as we go through life, you know, there should be more, you know, the Holy Spirit should be continually speaking to us. But here, Peter's pointing to the confirmation that Jesus Christ received. And then, verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. You know, our hearts before we were converted was a dark place. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit's that day star, that dawn rising in your heart, that light that we read about in 2 Corinthians. And so it's beautiful. Isaiah 56, verse 3 to 5, a couple verses here, is some powerful verses that play into this. Isaiah 56, verses 3 through 5. Says this, neither let the son of the stranger, these people here that we're going to read about are low class people, you could say, the lowest of the lowest. They're not some high up people. He says, neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. Notice verse 5. He says, even unto them will I give in mine house within my walls a place and a name better than sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. A better name than sons and daughters. That's beautiful. That's a promise to you and I. God's comfort. God will give you a better name than sons and daughters. It doesn't matter what class. He says, all who may, whosoever will, may come. And so, here we see, you know, God will give a better name. I'm going to read another little account here. Spurgeon used to tell the story of an illiterate old woman who was a humble follower of the Lamb. A skeptical neighbor loved to poke fun at her, especially at the assurance she displayed regarding her own salvation. How do you know that? He asked. God tells me so 100 times, she answered. And then she quoted one promise after another, especially from John's first letter, the Epistle of Christian Assurance, where the phrase we know is used 14 times in 5 short chapters. The question was then shot at her. Suppose God doesn't keep His word. Quickly she answered, His loss would be greater than mine. I would lose my soul. He would lose His honor. She was right. Oh, we have a great God, a wonderful God. He cannot deny Himself. He cannot. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. God cannot deny Himself. He sends forth His Spirit into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. But, you know, and that's where I want to go into the second part of the message. It says, if we believe not, yet God is faithful and He cannot deny Himself. And so, if the day star isn't shining in your heart, If the spirit isn't crying, Abba, Father, it's not God's fault. It's because I believe not. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. It's not God's fault. If the spirit is not bearing witness, then we need to check our own heart. Unbelief is a hindrance to the spirit crying, Abba, Father. And if we turn back to our text in Galatians, we're going to see, I want to show you something from Galatians 4, 6, and 9. With both passages, there's hindrances immediately attached to that hinder the spirit from crying, Abba, Father. We read here, Paul is concerned that they are quenching the spirit with some of the things that are creeping into their lives. We heard Brother Joe share this morning, you know, how outside everything looked green, everything looked beautiful when they got home. But as he started looking around, inspecting inside and under things a little bit, things are creeping in that are destroying. And that's what happens so often with newborn Christians. They're excited, they're on fire for the Lord. The day star has sprung up in their lives. But life goes on, and pretty soon a little bit creeps in here, a little bit creeps in there, and pretty soon the spirit's no longer crying, Abba, Father, and they're wondering what happened. And that's Paul's cry here. We read in Galatians chapter 4, right after this, where he writes, he sent forth the spirit of his son, crying, Abba, Father. Verse 8 and 9, he says, Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? You know, at this point you come, God, you have entered into a relationship with God, and then you start turning again to weak and beggarly elements. And so here, in bondages hinder the spirit from crying, Abba, Father. If there's bondages in your life, I would encourage you, get rid of them. You know, don't live in bondage, because it's more glorious and more joyous to live the Christian life in freedom from bondages. And so, and then we go to Romans 8:15. Immediately, right after that, he also, he says, For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So fear, you know, hinders the spirit from crying out, Abba, Father. And so fear, he's addressing the spirit of fear in the same verse, which quenches the spirit. You know, to keep the spirit crying, Abba, Father, Dada, it's obedience is required. Obedience is required. With that, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you would like to. Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'm going to start reading in verse 56. He says, If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and more sicknesses, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring up on thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law. Them will the Lord bring up on thee until thou be destroyed, and ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldst not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. Notice, they wouldn't obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and bring you to naught, and ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. Notice verse 66. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life. Notice there, why did doubt come? Why was there no assurance? Because of disobedience. And that's still the way it is today in the Christian life. Here's an example. You know, if there's doubt in your life, check your heart. What's there? Are there fears there? Are there unbeliefs? Is there sin there? These things take away the confidence and assurance. And you know, and I think it's God's mercy. It's His Spirit in your heart, you know, trying to draw you back. God takes it away to show you that there's something wrong in your life. And He says, and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life. None. But the opposite perspective is also true if you turn to Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17. Isaiah 32:17 says this, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. That's the effect of righteousness, is quietness. There's no fear. There's no quietness is the opposite of fear. And assurance forever is the opposite of doubt. And so that's the work of righteousness. When we are living in obedience to the Word of God and in righteousness. And with that, I want to turn to the book of 1 John and just look at some of those we knows that John gives. The book of 1 John is a book to see whether we have assurance or not. And so as we go through this, 1 John here, just look at different passages. We can examine our lives and see where we're at. You know, the word know is in 1 John 27 times. John wants us to know something. It's the word know, K-N-O-W, is in 1 John 27 times. And then the word known, K-N-O-W-N, is 5 times in 1 John. And so, John wants us to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to experience eternal life. He wants us to know Him. And so He writes this chapter that we may know Him. And He closes the chapter in 1 John 5, which I'll get to that verse, but our understanding, I'll read it again. You know, He says, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true. See, it takes both parties to be true. Even in His Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. You know, God is true. God will always be true. But this is eternal life when you are true, when I am true. Both parties are true. God will always be true. So we'll start in 1 John chapter 2. Verse 1 through 5, the first we know. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. How do we know him here? It's because we keep his commandments. And it's saying that sin and disobedience quench the spirit. This passage is. You know, in the rest of the chapter, I'm not going to read it for the sake of time, but it goes on about loving the world and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. And it talks about, you know, sin separates you, like we just read in Deuteronomy 28 there, of all these things that, you know, that come up on people and their life hangs in doubt and there is no assurance of their life because of sin. And so John is saying we know him because we keep his commandments. The next one is 1 John chapter 3, verse 14 through 24. This is loving your brother. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Notice, we shall assure our hearts before him. This is how we know. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. You know, I like John. He makes the Spirit sent into our heart crying, Abba, Father, very practical. It's not some mystical thing out there. It's not complicated. He tells us, you know, what it should look like. Verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. By that Spirit which he sent into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. It says, and hereby we know that he abideth in us. If we're following this principle of loving our brother, seeing our brother in need, by this principle, he says, you know, that we know by the Spirit which he hath given us. 1 John chapter 4, 1 through 6. We have another one, discernment here. He says, it's in the context of false teachers. He says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So discernment. You know, it's in the context of false teachers. False teachers will always interpret the scriptures to endorse sin and to fit their lives that are unholy. And so that is the spirit of Antichrist. You know, if it says every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, And this is the spirit of Antichrist. You know, when we confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, we confess that he lived a holy life. The word became flesh, the Bible says. The word was fleshed out. And that's the same way. If we flesh out the word, if we flesh out the word and we obey his commandments, you know, it says, by this you shall know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There's discernment there. And the next one is in 1 John chapter 5. You know, again, he reiterates here. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Next one is in 1 John verse 4. 1 John 4 verse 13 through 15. It says, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his spirit. Again, he has sent forth his spirit, crying, Abba, Father. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. So here you have another how we know. You know, because God has sent forth his spirit, like Brother Joe is sharing with us this morning, you're also going to be telling others. You're not going to keep it quiet. That's one way you can know, is the spirit of God. Do you have a desire within you to tell others? It says here in verse 14, and we have seen and do testify. We testify, we witness that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. You're telling a lost and dying world about the Savior that came to save their souls. You're testifying of it. And hereby we know that. You know, this is a fruit that John says it will be coming from your life, because God sent forth his spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Do we think, you know, that was Jesus' whole purpose for coming into this world, was to save sinners and tell them how they can be saved? And if we claim to have the Spirit of Christ, that same Spirit isn't going to come forth? You know, if it's not coming forth, we need to examine ourselves. Is something wrong? Did God ever send forth his Spirit into your heart? You know, that's one of the first things. As you go through scriptures, many of the people who got converted, they began to tell others. You take the man who was in the tombs, demonic, and it says he went all over the city, Decapolis, telling what great things Jesus did for him. And so it's evidence that God has sent forth his spirit into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Next one, 1 John chapter 5, 10 through 15. Knowing that you have eternal life, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. There it is again. God sent forth his Spirit. You have the witness within you. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. If you're here today and don't believe that, it says you make him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is a record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's pretty black and white here. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that he hear us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. So again, it's we know, because God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son, crying, Abba, Father. And I'll read verse 20 again. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. In John 10:14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Verse 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Again, you know, the same thing John writes. They follow me. They obey my word, you know, and they have assurance because they obey. Assurance comes from obeying the scriptures, from following Jesus Christ. And Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God," or "they are the sons of God." And so, you know, I shared many things here that are, you know, from John are practical, but what about practical things, you know, and everyday decisions that you and I face, you know, of being led by the Spirit of God? You know, I just, that's been my cry the last 6 months is, "Lord, lead me by your Spirit." Your word says, those are the sons of God, where God can lead you. You know, it can be simple things, you know. You know, just for me, I'll just be open, you know. You stop in at a gas station and to fill up the truck with gas, sometimes the temptation's there just to run in, maybe get a good snack and a good drink. But often I just say to the Spirit of God, say, "You don't need it, John. You don't need it." And I try to obey. You know, it's in practical things like that. You don't need it. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you're out shopping, and I've had this happen. Go share with a certain person, and I like, you know, you meet, and, "Okay, Lord, give me another opportunity to meet up with him, pass him." Pretty soon, a little bit later, the Lord brings him right down the same aisle, you know, and just share. And I've been blessed doing that. What the Spirit of God speaking into your life through reading God's Word. You know, God's Word, the Spirit speaks to you. The Spirit of God speaking to you through the preaching of the Word. You know, when you go shopping for your clothes and shoes, let the Spirit of God lead you, you know, not your flesh. Make your choices based on the Spirit of God. Is this going to bring glory to God, or is it just because I want it? Because I think it'll look good on me. Let this be led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God speaking to you to go help out a brother or a sister in need. You know, Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." It's not just a one-time thing, you know, like what happens here when, you know, you come to Christ and you get converted and God sends forth his Spirit into your heart crying, "Abba, Father." It's also being listening to God's Spirit, his voice, and listening to what he says. You know, Jesus later, you know, as the Apostle Peter said in, there that on when they were there on the mount, when they had a transfiguration there, he had another confirmation. You know, it's not just a one-time thing at conversion. It's a continual walking with God, and then God, it's a daily walk of God's Spirit crying, "Abba, Father." God has sent forth his Spirit into your hearts, my heart, crying, "Abba, Father." Why? Because he wants a relationship with you and I. He wants to comfort you. He wants you to trust him, Dada, Daddy. Abba, Father, every day, having full assurance. If we go to Hebrews, I'll close with this verse, Hebrews chapter 6. It says this, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." And the vine gives that full assurance there as full fruitfulness. Full fruitfulness unto the end. So I just thought that was interesting. Full fruitfulness unto the end. Listening to the voice of the Spirit of God. Being led by the Spirit of God. So I'll close with that. And I pray as you go forth, you know, if you're not, you know, you don't want to be a church that's not being led by the Spirit of God. Many of us came out of situations that were not, and we know the fruit of it. We know the results of it. We need every individual here, you know, needs to be led by the Spirit of God. Romans 8 also says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And so I just, and again, hopefully I made it practical. It's not some mystical thing out there like many people make it to be, but it's a practical thing that God, we have the word to go by. And so God bless you, and I pray that you be led by the Spirit of God. Make your choices this week based on the Spirit of God leading you, not because of your flesh's wants. So God bless.